Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean is next here. We'll tell you about what's happening inside the New Hampshire legislature, and we can answer your questions about your New Hampshire gun rights, 866-823-1077.
Well, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up, at least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Again, our toll-free number, 866-823-1077. Now, let's find out what's going on in the New Hampshire legislature with a number of bills related to firearms freedoms. Penny Dean, how are you today?
I am well. How are you?
Whoo, boy, oh boy. What? I don't think I can begin this show on any heavier a topic than I did earlier. Holy cow.
Yeah. So I kind of caught the end of it, but I didn't catch it all. So obviously there's tons of stuff going on there.
Well, I was talking about Andy Martin and the little brouhaha over the last few days. He's a Republican presidential candidate, and I was talking about how I believe these allegations not to be 100% accurate, and I think there should be more looking into it. And people, before they start smearing somebody as an anti-Semite, should start examining the facts rather than just running with something that they read on one page on the internet.
But isn't the internet the best source of true information? Because I know aliens had babies yesterday.
Oh, I thought that was just on the supermarket checkout stands.
They have it on the internet, too. And
then it must be true.
That's what I'm thinking.
Ah, okay.
it always says, you know, that's where I always get my source of information. You know, the heck with sculpts or heck with anything like that. I find the one with the coolest pictures is always the best.
Pictures tell 1,000 words, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. I'll tell you what, we have got, if anybody has an opportunity to go to the State House tomorrow is what I call Gun Bill Day at the State House.
Okay.
And I don't have every darn bill in front of me because, of course, I'm on the road. But I'll tell you what, they started about 9 a.m. and they run all day. Mm. And here's what I tell people. Do not be fooled. There's two bills that people say, oh, they're great. And my answer is, oh, no, no. Be careful what you wish for. The first one is HB 330, and it's by Representative Coffey. And that bill, the only way it'd be good is if you bomb it, take out all the words, and put in new words. It just has a lot of really big problems in it. And the one that people really need to
Well, what does HB 330 purport to do?
HB 330 purports to give us what we call constitutional carry.
Okay.
Okay. And constitutional carry is a good idea. It's a really good idea.
This would mean carrying without the requirement of having a license.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The problem is the drafters of this bill didn't consider a lot of things. First of all, they are going to make it no way that a non-resident can get a license. Will it be optional? No, a non-resident will no longer be able to get a license in New Hampshire. And I actually have a letter from the... there's two problems with that. One is minor, but it's still something to be considered. One is major. There are many reasons that non-residents choose to get a non-resident New Hampshire license, benefits they have in other states, okay?
Okay.
And you are, by this bill, taking that ability away from them. Why in the heck would you do that? Why would you hurt firearm owners like that? And by the same token, these non-residents who voluntarily choose to get a New Hampshire resident for other reasons they can use in other places, bring in, according to Earl Sweeney of Department of Safety, I have a letter from him on letterhead, saying it's expected to bring in about $630,000 this year. Our state's in huge fiscal crisis, and you're going to take away things that many firearm owners want and cost the state over $500,000 to $750,000.
Right, and this is money, again, that if you read the current statute on the money that is raised from the sale of non-resident licenses, That is money that goes back to support the resident licenses, you know, and printing out the forms and distributing them to your local police chief so that we ensure that they use the proper forms, which is a whole nother discussion that we've had before. But it's to make sure that that people understand the laws.
Absolutely. And then the other thing that we look at, and I'm actually in the process of talking to all these attorney generals about this, if I can, I'm sending them letters and working through this, is we have reciprocity agreements with several states, okay? And the question is, and I think it has to be asked to these other attorney generals, if even though we still continue to honor your resident licenses, what if we won't give your residence a New Hampshire license anymore because it doesn't exist? Will it affect our reciprocity agreement? And I think in at least one case, yes, and maybe more. But before we go change,
well, look
the
at
law,
the Vermont example where they don't have a licensing requirement. And what do the people in Vermont have to do? And I hope if we have any listeners there in the Upper Valley on the Vermont side of the border, that they can give us a call at 866-823-1077. What happens to you since you do not have to, since there is no Vermont license? What do you do when you go to a state, you know, that is more firearm friendly? How do you comply with their laws?
You want me to tell you what has happened in the past? Now, some states are making allowance for Vermont, but for years and years and years, they were just what I call short on luck. Because here's what they'd say. If your state doesn't give you a license so that you can show your resident license to apply for our non-resident license, we're not going to give you one. And they'd say, well, we live in Vermont. You can't get one. Yep, you don't have one. And they'd be like, no, that isn't it. I can't get one. And they would be tough rocks. Mm-hmm. Well, now there's a lot of states saying, unless your state doesn't issue you one, then we'll take care of it. You know, we'll take that into account. But my issue is, what about even, there's just a million unthought of repercussions.
Explain that one to the state trooper on the side of the road after he's pulled you over for speeding and figures out that you've got a gun in your vehicle.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And there are other problems in the bill. And the only reason I don't want to go into each detailed problem is because we had a couple other bad bills that I want to make sure we talk about.
Okay.
And the other is, and I believe it's HB 235, and maybe you'll look it up since I can't pull it up right easily.
All right.
It's HB 235 should be by Gary Hopper, and I believe it's being heard tomorrow.
This is relative to the right to possess a firearm in one's personal motor vehicle. Yes, Representative Hopper. Uh-huh.
That's exactly the bill. That is a horrible, horrible bill. And you're going to say, wait a minute, Penny, why in the world would you say that's a horrible bill? And if you look through it, there's about three huge major problems. Number one is the provision in there, and again, I don't have the bill in front of me, that basically says that even if you have a license to carry, someone cannot deny you employment based on your status as a license holder. Right now, under RSA 159, and I want to say it's 6C or 6A, I always get that messed up and I don't have it in my head right now. We have a confidentiality statute, which means New Hampshire licenses to carry, the applications and all the things surrounding them are confidential by law. Hmm. And the way the Supreme Court has always looked at things is when the legislature passes laws, that they're presumed to know all the other laws and they're presumed to know the implication and import of those laws. Okay, and so what we now have is there's provisions in there that highly suggest that an employer would know whether or not you have a license. And so the question is...
Right, because I'm reading this now. It says, no public or private employer shall condition employment upon either the fact that an employee or prospective employee holds or does not hold a license pursuant to RSA 159-6, which
how
is the license to carry.
Right, that's exactly it. How would they know if you do or don't unless that information is now available to them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a problem with that implication there.
This is fixing a problem where one shouldn't even be existing in the first place.
Bingo. Why would you put that in there? Why? You know, I mean, there's no good purpose. The other term that is not used elsewhere in statute is lawfully possessed, lawfully do this, lawfully do that. The minute you put that in there, that's begging a question. And here's what it's suggesting. It's suggesting to an officer, a judge, or a court, if the police stop you and go, well, I don't think you're doing this lawfully, okay? They arrest you, they charge you with who knows what, okay?
And now you got to go hire a lawyer.
You got to go hire a lawyer. I say this bill is one of the best make-work bills for lawyers I've ever seen. Whoever wrote it wants to give people like me money.
That'd be good. I was just going to say, it's good for your business, isn't it? So why are you complaining?
Because I can't. Isn't that bad? I always care more about gun owners' rights than I do about my pocketbook. Because I really think these things are wrong. And here's what, whenever you have what I call a question that's asked for the jury or the judge, why did you put that term lawfully in? Because what it does is beg the question where the officer says, I didn't think that was lawful. I think it's a violation over this. And you go, well, that's ridiculous. Tell it to the judge. You know, meanwhile, I'm going to do this. Why put those what I call make trouble words in there? We don't have them in general in New Hampshire statutes for a good reason. There's no good reason to put them there. Then we go to, and this is the really big deal that I have, okay? If you go further, it basically says this statute shall not apply to, and it gives you a laundry list of places that it doesn't want these protections to apply to. In addition to the fact that setting up those places to be what I call gun-free zones in the future, which I have a huge problem with, but more importantly, some of the terms are used, like, for example, an area for, I think, a nuclear facility is in there. What's the area used? Is it the city it's in, the town it's in, the land it's on? What is that?
It says any property where a nuclear-powered electricity generation facility is located.
Okay, what does the property mean? The property owned by it, the property surrounding, the property used by it? What does that mean?
Right, right. I mean, isn't there already federal laws that prohibit you from carrying a gun at a nuclear facility anyway?
I hope not, because if I work there, I want to be able to defend myself.
Oh, there you go. Well, Penny, let's take a time out. I want to examine this bill a little bit further. This is House Bill 235. And we're going to get into the potential for gun ban zones in this bill here with Attorney Penny Dean, Second Amendment Tuesdays, here on Bulldog Live, 1-866-823-1077 on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.